Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast.
Somewhere there's music, how faint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, how high the moon. There is no moon above when love is far away too.
Good afternoon,
till it comes true,
everybody. And I mean everybody, everywhere. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Welcome aboard. Good Lord, I missed you last week. We had a little technical difficulty, but we're back. We're back, and we are back with a vengeance. We have a great show on tap for you today. Welcome aboard. Our musical guest host is the one and only Diane Shore. Now, if you have not heard of that name, we are going to make her name household for you. You're going to know all about her. You're going to want to rush out and get some of her music, as well you should. Diane Shore, a return to the American songbook with some good old American jazz music on the Power Hour today. I want to start off with How High the Moon, because we saw Sarah Vaughan do her version when she forgot the words. And for Diane, and for Diane Shore, one of her heroes, one of her role models growing up was, of course, Sarah Vaughan. There you go. Hey, gang, you just heard her. She's here in the house. The fabulous Natasha, give it up. She's here.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you.
I missed you. Did you miss us? I missed the show so badly. Nice to be back.
Seems like we haven't done it in about a month, does it? Seems like we've been off a long time.
It does, long time.
People are sending me emails. What's up? What's going on? And of course, the Magic Man, Zach Geist, in the house.
Definitely good to be back, Mac.
Yes.
We persevere.
We made it through. Made it through. Thanks to that Snuggie. kept you warm and healthy. That's it. We're listening to Diane Shore, a jazz singer, born in Seattle, Washington, at least one of the suburbs of Seattle, and was born blind, and was encouraged by her parents to sing early on. And from what you can hear right now, her early childhood musical heroines were Sarah Vaughan and Dinah Washington. You know, so she went to the Washington State School for the Blind, and she started performing her own original material very early, at the young age of 16. And she revealed this very distinctive singing voice and her penchant for jazz music, following in the tradition of Sarah Vaughan and Dinah Washington. So you're going to get a real big taste of Diane Shore, spelled S-C-H-U-U-R. You may have seen her singing on television with Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, and she's had, I think she's released over 22 albums. Our music today is coming from an album she released in, 1992, called In Tribute. All of these songs are in tribute to her childhood musical heroines, starting, of course, with How High the Moon and Sarah Vaughan. So hope you're going to enjoy that and the distinctive singing voice of Diane Shore, and maybe you'll add her music to your musical collection. Welcome to the show, gang. Like as I said, we've got a great show on tap for you guys today. 84 degrees out and sunny in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. A little jump chilly on us yesterday. Had a few sprinkles around the area, but warm back up today. Wow. it's going to get chilly this weekend. The forecast for Saturday, oh, bummer, 63 and rainy. And we were supposed to go to an outdoor jazz concert. Oh, I know, on Saturday evening, you know. I know.
I was looking forward to that concert. We'll have to see.
Well, we don't know. Who knows? It may change. We may have a different forecast later in the week. We'll hang out and see what happens. But you know what? I read somewhere that Dinah Shore instead of Diane Shore.
Yeah.
Dinah Shore, you know, the singer who had jazz singer too, American jazz singer, who had her own show on, I think it was NBC for years, and I think was romantically linked with Burt Reynolds, or maybe even married to Burt Reynolds for a while. Dinah Shore, S-H-O-R-E. This is Diane Shure, S-C-H-U-U-U-R. So hopefully I won't mess that up. Too bad, my tongue's already getting all kind of twisted around. But anyway, lots of albums from her. Started recording back in the late 80s. She appeared at the Monterey Jazz Festival in California several times. She got her big break when Stan Getz, the great tenor saxophonist who played with, that name would come back to me in just a moment. But he saw her perform, invited her to perform with him at the White House in 1982 with Nancy Reagan. And Nancy Reagan was really struck with her and invited her to perform again as a vocalist with the Count Basie band that was playing at the White House in 1987. And she personally requested Diane. Get used to it. I'm going to do it all night. I can tell. Diane Shure and Stan Getz later played on Diane's first three albums. Her first album was actually named her nickname, Deedles. That's what they called her, Deedles. I don't know where it came from. Deedles came out in 1984. And Sure Thing, her name, Sure Thing, in 1985. And Timeless, Stan Getz, who discovered her, played on her first three albums. So there you have it, Deedles, Sure Thing, and Timeless. I have all three, and if you'd like to hear some, just send me an email. Maybe we'll do that. But these songs I decided to play from her album In Tribute from circa 1992. So we'll get some good old jazz music, and we haven't heard some of that in a while. So anyway, welcome to the show, gang. Great show on tap. Our early segment today is going to be on negative thinking and gratitude. We're going to combine two subjects, and our main topic, more of quantum thinking and quantum mechanics. And I sure know you guys like that, our first venture there from the emails that we received. And of course, now it's time for shout outs, as we always have. Bam. Bam. Of course, here it goes. Andy out in Spain, shout out going your way. The weather's fabulous out there. Al down in South FLA. Alfredo in Mexico, we know what's happening there. Kurt in the UK, what an international flavor we've got to our shout outs these days. VG, Veronica G in the Philippines. Yes. Coming back stateside, Larry and Kimmy right here in the valley. DZ, David up in Michigan. Barry and all the Taekwondo boys, and Jeff in Chicago. Gwen Hall in Texas, and to my entire extended family up there in Denver with Nick and Tom and all the boys. What up, okay? And of course, Chris, who is Chris C. here in the Valley, who's a new listener to the Power Hour, but maybe our most passionate right now. He sent me a very nice email. Maybe we'll share parts of it with you, but we had so many. If you want to send an email, send it to me, Mac Newton at 7, S-E-V-E-N, the number 7 spelled out, S-E-V-E-N, at MacNewton.com with your comments, criticisms, complaints, or praise. However, suggestions, whatever you want to do, send it in. If it's compelling enough, maybe we'll share it right here on the Power Hour. A quick update for you guys. Online workouts. You want to get in shape? Go in there. We've got a new pricing section. You can do a class for $9. You can do a workout with the Mac Daddy in your home or office for $9. You can buy a monthly membership for $100, as many classes as you want for a month. And I mean a full across the board in all the 12 different workouts that we have. So go online, check it out. I know for a fact you love it. You do my workouts online, you don't like it, I'll return your money. You have my word on that. Okay, and that's right here, you know, and of course, as we're doing it live, it's also being digitally recorded, so I stand, but I don't even need it to be recorded, I stand, my word is my bond. I say it, I'll back it up. You work out with me online, it doesn't work for you, you don't like it, money back, bam, just like that, no argument, no discussion, you don't like it, you get it. All right, as we're talking our updates, I want, let's see, what else we got here? Online workouts we were talking about.
I love your online workouts, Mac. I think that's incredible. First of all, the advantage of this, you make your own schedule. You don't have to be certain times at certain place. You make your own schedule. You make it work out around your schedule. And second, you know, you feel like you're being in a class. That's a great feeling. You feel like you're being in a class by working out online. And I think that's a bargain.
I think
for this kind of price, it's a bargain. And what I love the most, I can talk back to you. You can't do it in a class. Not at all. Can't say a word to Mac Newton.
Two great points. I don't know about that third one, but I'll give you kudos on the first 2 points. Certainly, available 24/7. When make it work for you. And, of course, you do feel like you're in a class and you get lots of support and it is a teaching environment. And talk back if you want. Whatever. Have fun with that. Check it out online, gang. And, oh, yo, go to the website. And also, our video vault is just crammed. Have you seen some of those on there, Zach? Have you seen some of the videos in the video vault?
Yeah, I saw the new link structure on the site when you...
Have you seen any of the videos, though? Have you seen the videos themselves? You got to check them out. I mean, I'm there working out with Ralph Sampson and Bo Jackson. And
I haven't seen the one with Bo.
You haven't seen one? Well, we got some of those online. We're working with lots of professional athletes. We got some Taekwondo stuff on there. Well, it is a video vault. And more going on all the time. All right. Okay. Wow. What a... Okay, 12 minutes past the hour. Beautiful day here in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Summer is coming. The baseball season is up and running. And what, you know what? I don't understand. The Diamondbacks started their season in Denver and in Chicago. Okay.
I thought somebody got snowed out or something.
Yeah, it got snowed out in Denver. You know, yesterday they're playing in Chicago. It's 39 degrees.
They finally snuck a game out yesterday.
Okay, well, you know what? Here, it's 80 degrees and sunny. Plus, we've got a roof. What were you thinking about? I mean, in April in Chicago, it could easily snow. And it did snow in Denver. Anyway, baseball season is here. And everyone loves the start of baseball season. Who doesn't love the start of baseball season? Spring has sprung. The grass is riz. Can the birdies be far away? They're coming back, too. So, baseball season is back. We don't know when football season is going to show up. Hopefully, they'll get that resolved. You got billionaires arguing with millionaires, and somehow there's enough money to go around. But sometimes greed does get in the way. All right. So we just hang in there, and they'll work it out. And for those of you who love NFL football, I'm sure it'll be back very, very soon. But right now it's time for baseball. But I can't even really truly get into baseball because right now, you know where my heart's at? My heart is into the NBA basketball playoffs coming up. Are you into that, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize the Bulls were so far ahead in number one.
Well, I wouldn't say so far ahead. I think they got a one-game lead or a two-game lead on Boston and Miami. That's going to be an interesting playoff there, Boston, Miami, Chicago.
I think some people were saying Bulls, Heat, Eastern Conference Finals, perhaps.
What do you think about that, Natasha? Now, see, Natasha is very knowledgeable about basketball. You'd be surprised.
I'm sure.
Yeah, she is. Well, what do you think about that, Natasha?
Well, I know the Lakers are the winners. You know, they're going to win the championship this year, for sure.
Okay.
Well, there's no question about
really?
That.
Really? No question.
Well, do you know any other team who can beat them?
Well, I
do
know there are several teams with a possibility.
Boston
arguably came within one call from a referee from winning last year. The Heat, they've already predicted they're going to win 5 or 6 or 7, so obviously they're going to be right there. The Bulls, well, they look more impressive all the time. And I'll tell you something, there are a lot of teams out west that can look very interesting. Denver, for example, since they traded Carmelo Anthony, they look very impressive.
They took, you know, your advice. They just got rid of a negative situation, negative boom. Relationship.
Bam.
They're all a lot better now.
Mm-hmm. Now, Portland, you're right on that. Got pulled that negative influence out, put him in a situation where it can possibly be more positive, and maybe it'll benefit the Knicks and Denver. Portland could also be a major player in what turns out there. You know what's going to be a great series? That series between Denver and Portland in the first round.
Absolutely.
So I think that
that's going to be tough.
That's going to be a very good series,
good
you know.
Games,
yeah, it's
yes.
going to be very good ones. And you got, you know, you still don't count the Orlando Magic out in the East.
They're definitely a series contender.
I think so. So your prediction, we know that Natasha says the Lakers are going to go all the way. She says no doubt about it. You know, no
I'm
question.
Just being realistic.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure I quite share your sentiment. I think it's going to be a good series. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think in the East, Zach? What's your thought?
Well, I mean, I'm a Seas fan. I always love Kevin Garnett, but I really can't say what's going to happen. I mean, I think the Heat are really strong.
Yes.
They're pretty deep. And, you know, with Jay Rich that they got from the Suns, I think that was a really big asset for them. And
for Orlando, they didn't get the Heat didn't get Jay Rich. Orlando got Jay Rich.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the Magic. Okay. But honestly, I think it's really up in the air. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out this year.
You know, the Heat play very well, but they work awfully hard for every one of their baskets, man. And they're one sprained ankle away from disaster. I mean, they need everyone clicking on all cylinders in order to be really good there.
Yeah, they don't win the games that they should win.
Yeah, they don't. They've been unpredictable in terms of that. What do you think about this trade that the Boston made with Kendrick Perkins? Do you think that was a good thing for them? Or a lot of people are saying that they're going to miss him more than they think.
Well, yeah, because I guess, you know, they were relying on Shaq, and he just came back from an injury and gave him about 6 minutes and got a different injury. So they kind of are
You know how you spell Shaq these days? O-L-D, okay? That's how you spell that. Shaq is spelled O-L-D. He can't get down the court without pulling a calf muscle. So, well, I don't know. So you're picking the Seas to come out of the East. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm really not sure who's going to come out. I think that the Magic are going to make a strong push again.
Okay.
I mean, Howard is just such a beast.
He is.
He can single-handedly do quite a bit.
No,
but
well,
only Howard.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, they do have some other players there.
Yeah, I don't know names.
Okay, you don't know their names. Okay, if she doesn't know their names, they don't exist. They can't play.
They don't exist.
They're garbage, you know, chopped liver. So, and we know Natasha says the Lakers, they're going to win it all. So what about the West? Who's coming out of the West from your perspective? Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously our poor Suns
they're not in the playoffs.
Their history for this year.
They're gone.
I mean, if you recall, at the beginning of the season, go back on the Power Hour and listen, I said they'd be lucky to make the playoffs. To make the playoffs.
I can't say I was ever a total fan of them, but, you know, just for history's sake, it would be interesting to see the Lakers just finally put the crowning achievement on it.
Oh,
Phil Jackson, I think, really has 10 rings.
I don't know.
One
whole bunch
finger.
Of them. You know, he's going for number 11, I guess, now. So he would be the winningest coach in terms of championships of all time. I'm not a fan either of the Lakers. I'm a fan of great basketball, and you certainly have to appreciate the efforts of the team overall. The Lakers are a two-time defending champion, and Kobe Bryant especially. He has willed his way to and of course with the players, and they've meshed together real well. They've done a good job, but you really have to say that I mean a lot of people are writing off San Antonio again, but you know, they have a championship spirit. They're going to make things interesting. And Denver, I think Denver, you know, write this down. Denver is going to be a wild card. Denver may surprise some people. They're going to be tougher than you know. And then, listen to this name. The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, I was going to say the Thunder. I mean,
Oklahoma
really
City Thunder. Yes.
Could be challenging. Very young, very powerful team.
Very young, very powerful. They got Kendrick Perkins in the middle. Can play one. You know, can match up 1-1 with Andrew Bynum instead of having to double team him, which they had to do last year. And they still gave the Lakers a tough run last year. Oklahoma could be 1 or 2 years away from a championship of their own. It's going to be either way. It's going to be a very compelling playoffs is what I'm saying. I mean, lots of stories in both the East and the West. I say bottom line, who's going to win? Who's going to come out of all of this stuff with a win? Wow. Natasha, you say?
Lakers,
of course. All right, okay.
I mean, come on,
admit
it. He's the best player. Yes,
I will admit Kobe Bryant is the best player in the NBA right now. I think he's the best in terms of getting the most out of his players and being the most effective. coming out in the end? Bottom line, who wins?
Let's go with the Celtics just to spoil the Lakers.
Really? So, but is that what you really believe, or just what you want? You think they're going to win? They have a chance? You're going to say Celtics all the way to the championship?
Way.
Celtics, Lakers in the championship.
This is it. If they don't do it this year, they're going to have to blow
this
it
is
up.
Their window. It's coming close right
Absolutely.
Now. That's what you're saying. Okay. Now, so here we got Lakers, Celtics in the championship. Who wins that? Not going to talk to Natasha. We know what she thinks. Lakers going all the way. What do you think?
Even though I would like the Celtics to win, I think in that finals, the Lakers would have just so much riding on it, and they're just deeper, especially with, the Celtics have nothing in the middle now.
All right, now here's my take. If the Heat get to the finals, they win, I believe.
They could turn it on, that's definitely
Heat?
True.
If the Heat, the Miami
really?
Heat, yes. If the Miami Heat get to the finals, they win. I'm not sure they can get there. I'm not sure they can get past Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Chicago is really set up to deal with the Heat. I don't know if they can get past Chicago. But if they get to the finals, whether it's L.A., the team I think that could give the Heat the most trouble in the finals, I think would be Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But I really think the Heat have the Lakers number. I think they know how to play the Lakers. And if they get there and they're up against the Lakers, I think the Heat will beat the Lakers. But it's going to take 6 or 7. I'm going to say 7. Heat in 7. Well, put it this way. Well, okay, I'm going to stick with it. Heat in 7 if they make it to the championship. But they may not because they got to get past the Bulls. They've got to get past. They've got a hard road, man. They got to get past the Celtics and the Bulls. So, very compelling. I'm saying Heat. You're saying Lakers, and you're saying the C's. There you go. Yes.
Okay, we should ask our listeners.
Yes.
For their opinion, since we're all basketball fans.
I'm sure Veronica G out in the Philippines doesn't give a hoot.
she's a basketball fan. Oh, well, okay. Look at me. I'm Russian and I love basketball. Who knew?
You know what? You know what? You know it's. She sat there. I used to give her a test. You give her a test over here. Okay, Portland.
Trailblazers.
Okay. Orlando.
Magic.
Boo. Indianapolis.
Pacers.
Okay, there you go. How about the Milwaukee? Milwaukee.
Bulls.
Well,
very
Don't
fun.
Brag. See there? I got you already. Bucks.
No, it's not.
Bulls and Bucks.
On a last note, maybe next year we'll be rooting for the Anaheim Kings since they might be selling the franchise.
Oh, that's really sad right there because that's what they need in Southern California, another basketball team. So they'll have 3 teams in Southern California.
We need the Sonics back. Would be good for the league.
The Sonics should have never left, but then again, too, first of all, you've got to, a city doesn't have a right to a team. If they don't support the team, the owner's got a right to move it. But come on, let's go. Come on, you got to have better thinking than to move another team to Southern California. I mean, we've already got 2 teams down there, and you want another down there? I think that's a waste of time. There are other areas, but it's all about them trying to find marketing. Marketing and team support and also airtime. So I don't think they should. First of all, I think they're coming from the Kings from
Sacramento.
They used to have a tremendous, tremendous support. Not as strong
ago,
as
they
Portland.
Used to go up against the Lakers and give them fits.
In fact, I think that Shaq called them the Sacramento Queens at one point in time.
That's about correct. I agree with that.
She's fired up today. She's said Natasha is fired up.
Milwaukee Bucks. Well,
oh, now she's got to say that like she knows. I'm sorry, Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay. Well, they should play better so I would know them.
Memphis.
Grizzlies.
Okay. Now, the Bucks had a better – they didn't do bad. They didn't qualify for the playoffs. The Grizzlies, another little sneaky team. Better season than the Suns had, by the
Absolutely.
Way. All right. Well, I'll tell you, 25 minutes past the hour. We didn't expect to have our sports hour here. But for some of you out there, I know you enjoyed listening to our opinions. Natasha, write it down. She's picking the Celtics. I'm saying if the Heat
– No, I said Lakers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Zach picked the Celtics. You said the Lakers. I'm saying if the Heat get there, they will win. If the Heat doesn't get there, Lakers win.
Okay? I'd have to agree with that.
Will you agree with that?
Well, Well, I mean, like you said, if the Heat can put something together, I think when they get to that next level, they'll be so focused to put their money where their mouth is.
If they get to the championship, I think Heat wins. That's my official stance. Heat wins if they get there, but that's a huge but. They've got a big obstacle in front of them called the Chicago Bulls. Okay, really big obstacle there. So. Lakers are playing fabulous right now. They're on top of their game. I mean, they lost two games recently. They lost to Denver, and they lost to the Utah Jazz a night before last. So but then again too, that I don't think that means anything at all. I don't think it means anything. You know, they just kind of blinked for a moment there. Right now, they're focused and right on track. So they're ready to roll. Okay, gang, here we are, 25 minutes past the hour. This is the Power Hour. Okay, you think it's not Sports Center. It is the Power Hour. Our musical guest host today, Diane Shure, American jazz singer born in Seattle, Washington, 57 years old now. Also a very, very accomplished pianist. And sings jazz, she sings the blues, sings a little pop every now and then, you know. Started making records back in the early 1980s and has never let her blindness stand in her way. A true top performer as our musical guest host. I'll tell you something, gang. Negative thinking robs you of the life experience. And I want to give you the difference between negative thinking and positive thinking. A lot of people want to know, what's the difference between those two things? Because a lot of people want to be positive thinkers, but they don't really know how. So when I say that negative thinking robs you of the life experience, what does that mean? That it actually takes away your ability to experience life? Yes. In fact, it won't even let you see what's good in your life. You're so fixated on what's not working. You're so fixated on the things that you don't have. You're no longer aware of what you do. And you know the old saying that, you know, you've heard many times, use it or lose it. So if you're not aware of it and you're not using it, it goes away. That's why I say that negative thinking robs you of the life experience. In fact, negative thinking makes the good stuff go away. See, we all know that positive thinkers sees the glass as half full. Okay? Negative thinkers sees the glass as half empty. But it goes further than that. A negative thinker who sees the glass as half empty won't drink it. They will literally sit there and let it evaporate. The positive thinker will sit there and see it as half full and then will drink it and go get more. The difference? The difference is that the negative thinker feels deprived. The negative thinker doesn't feel deserving of getting more. Yeah, the glass is half empty, and when that's gone, it's gone. I won't be able to get any more. I can't get any more. That's how they think. I won't be able to get any more. I don't deserve any more. I can't get any more. It's a fluke that I've got that. They see the negative thing of everything. In fact, recently one of my clients wanted to buy a piece of your jewelry. Want to buy a piece of your jewelry on display in the boutique. And she kept looking at this one particular piece. And I said, you know, you should just go ahead and get it. But she never did. And then the next thing you know, it was gone. Someone else had decided they wanted it and bought it. And then just the other day, as I was passing by, and she was just, you know, looking sad. And I says, what's the matter? He goes, well, I lost my necklace. I says, well, it wasn't your necklace. You didn't buy it. I says, well, missed out on that. And she says, yeah, I know. And I'll never get another like it either. See, that's negative thinking. That's exactly how negative thinkers think. I lost that and I'll never get another. Positive thinkers will say, well, I lost that one. But you know what? The next piece will be even better. It'll be even better. And I'll like it even more. That's the difference. That's the difference, gang. That's the difference. The difference is in how you think. You see the glass as half full, and you will drink it, and then you will go and get more. The negative thinker will lose what they have. They'll see it as half empty. She's looking at it thinking, it's half empty. Well, I can't afford it. Can't get it. So they do nothing. until finally it's gone. And that's what happens to all negative thinkers. That's what happens to all of them until finally their lies become rigid. They become very insecure and they see themselves as a victim. They don't know that they're in control of all that. It's all about how they think. It's all about how they think and how they've allowed themselves to view life. That's the difference, gang, between negative and positive thinking. In a nutshell. All right. You listen to Power Hour. My name is Mac Newton. We do it every Thursday right here. Hey, gang, do me a favor. Do me a favor. You like the Power Hour? Tell your friends about it. We got a little more Diane Shore coming at you. Let's see, what is this right now? Let me see if I can check it out for a minute. Yeah. She's singing American standards from the Great American Songbook. Let me see if I can think who did this originally now. She's singing. Oh, yes. God Bless the Child. You know who did that originally, Natasha? You should know that.
Sarah Vaughan.
Billie Holiday. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Papa may have,
but God bless the child.
But God bless the child that's got his own.
Oh, yeah. Diane Shore, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you today right here on the Power Hour, our musical guest host from the album In Tribute. Hopefully you can find it somewhere. If not, more, just look through her selection in the record store. But you know what? Those, the record stores and the, those stores are fading away fast. I think Tower Records officially disbanded this past week. You know that great chain, Tower Records, nationwide, worldwide?
Absolutely.
Is no more.
Now some of the you know, the bigger chains have definitely disappeared, but in another way, there's a lot of smaller mom and pop places that are popping back up on Central, and people are going for vinyl again.
That always happens. It's not so much the vinyl I'm so much looking for as the fact that people actually buy the source of the music, whether it's a vinyl or it's a CD, rather than just buying it off of YouTube.
Website.
You see, because this first of all does a better job for the artist, and it gives you something tangible that you can read about the artist, and you've got the source of the music. You see, sure, we're listening to this off of an iPod, and you can store your music there and use it and be very flexible, but you got to have your collection. I've got rows and rows of our CDs back in the back where I can find one in a heartbeat. So go out to your record store, gang, and pick up something by Diane Shore. You're listening to her right now, and you know you like it. Go ahead, say it. You know you like her. You like it. Say it. Yes, you do. My name's Mac Newton, the fabulous Natasha over there who thinks the Lakers are going to win it all. And, of course, Magic Man, who's still not sure. he's going back and forth. Okay.
I'll keep holding out for Garnett.
All right, I know.
But this is definitely the last window they have.
You think so? Get one or two good pieces, and they may have one more year. I'm Mac Newton. Will you stay where you are? We'll be right back with more Power Hour coming your way.
Hi, everyone. This is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
I fell in love with you first time I looked into. Welcome back, gang. More Diane Shore coming your way. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. 84 degrees and sunny in about downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
No stalling, I'm falling, going in a big way for you.
Well, so many of the great American jazz singers have done this song. Billie Holiday, Dinah Washington, Sarah Vaughan, one of your favorites that you like to talk about all the time. Who was it? What's it? Anita O'Day did this song. Remember Anita O'Day?
Yes, yeah. I like her.
Okay. And them their eyes. But here, our guest host, Diane Schur, is giving it to you uncut. I love it. Sweet.
I fell in love with you first time I looked into them their eyes.
As I said to you on the top of the show, she's got a very distinctive singing voice. I think a lot of it is that her expressiveness was developed because when she first started performing at the age of 16, she was actually singing country music because that's very popular in the neck of the woods where she was born, Seattle, Washington. So she started singing, but she kept listening to the American jazz singers, Dinah Washington, Sarah Vaughan, and even though she was surrounded by all this country music, the jazz predominated, and she says, that's the direction I want to go. And so, anyway, and now we have it for all time. We were talking during the break, gang, that and Zach made a very, very good point, that when you stop by your music store, rather than just downloading a song from iTunes, stop by your local music store and buy the CD. Everybody wins. You do business with your local local entrepreneur, your businessman, help them out. The artist, help them out big time, and you have something right there. You can download it to your computer, you can put it on your iPod, but you still have the actual CD itself, which just makes you feel better. You got something for your money there. Okay, gang, welcome back to the show. Lots of good stuff on tap before we go out. 36 minutes now before the hour, and more Power Hour coming your way right now. I mentioned at the top of the hour that I wanted to talk to you about gratitude a little bit. You know, where I grew up with great-grandma, Thanksgiving was a very big time for us because she knew that, and she used that time of the year to help form my thought process. She knew I was fixated on my losses. My mom, who had passed away when I was 3 months old. My dad, who had deserted me. And she knew I felt deprived. I felt that the world had done me wrong. I wasn't happy. I thought all the other kids had a mother and father. And so great-grandma, every Thanksgiving, would make me sit out and actually write out a list of the things that I was thankful for. And she'd actually go over it with, and she always made sure that I put her on it. She said, I want you to be thankful for me, because I want you to know something, boy. I am the only thing standing between you and a Jamaican orphanage. You have no one else. And she raised her daughter, her daughter's daughter, and her daughter's daughter's son. That's me. And I mean, she, and when I look back on it now, I ask myself, what would I have rather had? A father who already proved that when the pressure got difficult, he was going to hit the win, okay? He was going to get in the win. He'd already proved that, hadn't he? Or would I rather have a great-grandma who, maybe not my mother or father, but would go knuckle to knuckle with a bear at night? Which one would I rather have? I'm telling you which one I'd rather have. The one I did. So when I look back on it, she was so right. I was the lucky one. I was really the lucky one. And it's so much that I have to be thankful for. And so over time, she taught me, even though she didn't use these words, she's taught me to have an attitude of gratitude. Well, you know, I got up this morning and my very first step, my knee and hip gave out and I landed almost flat on my face. And there was a time in my life when I would have stood up going, oh, all kind of obscenities coming from me going, you know, and it could have just really ruined my day. Because I'd be focusing on all the things I did not have. I've got two artificial hips. Oh, my knee doesn't work. Oh, why me? Woe is me. Poor me. But you know what? I've learned now to automatically, when something like that happens to me, I immediately focus on the things that I do have working for me. And I have a list of 10 things that I go down right away. I said, oh my, gee whiz, it's Thursday. we get to do the Power Hour. How lucky am I to do that? And you know what? I'm going to do this whole show off the top of my head. My brain is sharp as a tack. I'm so grateful for that. You know what? I get to do Taekwondo with the Pee-wees today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Wow, how lucky I am to still be able to do that. Who's the fastest in my class? That would be me. How lucky am I? How grateful am I? Who do I have in my life? The fabulous Natasha. How grateful I am for her. How grateful can I be? And now every time I mention something, offshoots come off as a result of all that. And all of a sudden, I didn't even feel my hip or my knee anymore. Because when I first started thinking and about this attitude of gratitude, I just wasn't certain what to be thankful for. I couldn't figure it out. So finally I decided I'd just be thankful for everything. I'd be just thankful for everything. And for those of you who don't know how to be thankful, fake it. Pretend. You know, fake it till you make it. I mean, pretend. I mean, once willing myself to be thankful. Developing an attitude of gratitude until it becomes real. An attitude of gratitude makes the things that don't work in your life almost disappear. It builds on the stuff that you have. It's a tremendous way of healing. Very nurturing. An attitude of gratitude. I think that's the best, and that's all I had really planned to say about the subject for you today. Make yourself think grateful thoughts. I mean, and the more you are thankful, the better you'll get at being thankful. And you have so many things to be thankful for. Start with 10 things. Make a list. And then on each one thing on the list, come up with 3 other things that come from that. So you'll end up with 30. And it'll be very easy for you to do. And it'll put a smile on your face. You know, when I worked for Baxter Travanaugh in Chicago, one of my accounts was the Chicago Rehabilitative Institute on the near north side off of Madison in Chicago. These are people who were handicapped and who had been in automobile accidents, motorcycle accidents, people who were, you walk in the door and they were down the halls and in different rooms painting pictures, holding the brushes in their teeth. Why? Because they were completely paralyzed. And when they would see you come in, their eyes would light up and look at you. And I would wonder, how are you able to smile when you have so little? But as time went by, somehow I forgot about that. As I became fixated on the things that didn't work. You can't do that, game. It'll take over. It'll take over. Develop an attitude of gratitude and you're no longer arguing for your limitations. You're no longer arguing for the things that don't work. And all of a sudden, the things that do work will appear to multiply, will seem to get bigger, bigger and better. It'll just make your life so unbelievably rewarding. Because negative thinking or deprived thinking, like what I had, it turns good things into less. An attitude of gratitude turns good things into more of a good thing. It really does. Grateful thinking just turns ordinary stuff into more, just by the nature of your attitude toward it. Deprived negative thinking just makes good things disappear. So, probably, and I'll finish with this and move on to our segment today on quantum thinking. Perhaps the most profound effect, or the most lasting effect, of negative thinking, deprived thinking, non-grateful thinking, is that you finally convince yourself, by thinking negatively and by thinking deprived, you finally, after years and years of doing that, that you really don't deserve the good things in your life. And you'll be convinced forever. And what a sad day that will be. It may not be true, but your belief will make it true for you. What you believe you deserve, what you really believe deep inside, will be what you get. And if you feel and continually think negative, you'll eventually believe you don't deserve the good things in life. You don't deserve to fulfill your potential. And that will be your destiny. And that's the most profound effect of negative thinking, of non-grateful thinking, and deprived thinking that I can think of. Right? And that, when people say you can take it to the bank, no, 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 no. You can take that into your life and build a life on it. Right? Now, we promised you more today of our segment on quantum thinking. But lead me into this, Zach. Give me a little something. Just pick something out there off of on the In Tribute album from 1992 with Diane Short to lead me into this section, okay? Just pick up something there that leads me into it. Now, I'm not sure if this is Diane on guitar, on piano. Ooh, little jazzy blues there. Very much.
Very good. I love it. Mm-hmm. You can hear the notes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have this on your iPod.
Well, thank you.
You're okay. So you can put it.
I'm very grateful.
Are you great? There you have. Now, so on your way back, you could just hunt it up. Diane, sure, just go there.
This is the first time in my life I hear her voice.
But I tell you what, you won't be able to say that tomorrow. You're going to play it more and more.
I'm going to play her more, absolutely.
Yes, yes. And that's all I want to do. Just expose you to more of the good things in life. And the more you're grateful, hey, an attitude of gratitude makes good things more. It's just as simple as that. Okay, gang. Great show. I told you I had a great show on tap for you guys today. Diane Shore as our musical guest host. We finished up last week talking about challenging logic. We gave you the first three steps. Remember the first step there, Natasha? The first step in how to make a quantum leap, how to get into the quantum thinking was quit trying harder. Quit trying harder. Number one, quit trying harder. Remember I told the story about the fly? Remember that story I told? Well, like the fly, you can't make a quantum leap simply by doing more of the same. You just can't, you know, just keep doing it harder and harder and harder. Just a faster path to burnout. Okay? We have to do things differently. If you just follow the same behavior over and over, you're just going to get better and better at what you've always done. We have to change our way of thinking. And remember I said, you can't change your thinking.
Your thinking.
The way you're thinking. And this is how you change your thinking. So the first part of it is to say, I'm not just going to try harder. I want to do it differently. Like the fly, we have to turn around and go 180 degrees, or at least consider. Suppose I did the exact opposite of what I've been doing. I have to call into question everything that I've been thinking up to this point in time. I've been thinking that the way I think is logical, but maybe it's just habitual. Maybe I think this way because I've always thought this way. Maybe it doesn't really work. Maybe that explains why I'm working in a job that's so far below my ability. Maybe that's why I'm in a relationship that's toxic and not working for me. Maybe that's why that my health is poor and I can't breathe. Maybe those are the reasons. Number two was adopt appropriate risky behavior. I said that you should make no mistake about it, gang. Making a quantum leap requires risk. But let's face it, in life, something's always at stake. I mean, if you risk nothing, it's the surest way of losing. You'll never learn who you are. You'll never stretch. You'll never reach. In the end, as I said earlier, by being negative, you'll become rigid, timid, and you'll feel that you're just a victim of life make no mistake, taking a risk is scary. It sometimes means letting go of everything you've already got to take a leap into the almost the unknown. But let me ask you a question. If you don't take that leap, what do you risk? You know what you risk? You risk not being able to become everything you were born to be. That's a risk you take. Let me put it to you this way. A child who's in the third grade, but you give them a test and they test out to the 12th grade. Aside from the social skills, what do they gain by going through the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 10th grades? What? What do they gain? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They just waste a lot of time. You should take that child and put them in the 12th grade of learning. So what do you risk if you don't take the risk of putting that child in the 12th grade? You run the risk of them getting bored and tuning out and never becoming the genius they were obviously born to be. So there's something always at risk. So you got to ask yourself, if I don't take that risk, what am I really risking? Am I risking a mediocre life? Am I risking not becoming everything I was born to be? So something's always at risk. So I say, adopt risky behavior. No, I didn't say reckless behavior. I didn't say make your life a crapshoot. Because what we want to do, as I said last week, go back and check it out. One of the things I said last week is the three steps that inspire quantum thinking is number one, and think through the possibilities. Work at your solution to your problem. Number two, research it. Talk to others. Learn everything you need. And number three, ask for an answer. Expect a universe, a breakthrough from the universe. So this is not reckless. This is not a crapshoot. But then when it's time, we have to go back to the three steps that are necessary that allow a quantum leap to happen. I know you're in what those were. Zach, number one, you need to have an aiming point. You need to know something that you want to go to, correct?
You need a goal.
You need a goal. You need a goal. And number two, you got to take action. You just can't sit there and wait for something to happen. You got to start. But people say all the time, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I haven't crossed all my T's, dotted all my I's. Sometimes you have to start. Even if the details of how you're going to reach your goal is not apparent yet. And number three, learn from your mistakes and continue your pursuit. Because the quantum leap doesn't always take you to a quantum solution. It'll take you to the next point where a quantum leap can happen. All right. That brings us to where we stopped last week. Challenging logic. To challenge logic. I mean, we rely a lot in our Western civilization very heavily on logical reasoning. You know, letters and numbers. I mean, in school, we were taught almost exclusively to think in this linear fashion, drawing conclusion with words and numbers based on what we see, touch, hear. And sometimes if someone doesn't agree with our thinking, we might describe that person as irrational because I arrived at that conclusion with linear thinking, logical thinking, left brain thinking. But we have a bilateral brain and a right brain that's full of intuition and gut feelings. And they are also very accurate guides to knowledge. Research has shown that this bilateral brain we have can make very effective use of both forms of knowledge, from the left and the right brain. And I call that a very holistic combination of logic and intuition. And that is the road to personal knowledge and strength. However, because we've been so trained in the logical or rational approach, our brains, we need a tune-up now. And I left right there. We need a tune-up in the intuitive segment, into trusting our gut instinct. Did I tell you guys about the two creatures on the planet that have the homing effect? Did I tell you that?
No.
Zach, did I tell you that?
No, I don't recall.
Okay, well, let me tell you right now. We got a moment. There are two creatures who have this homing effect. You can take a pigeon, lock it in a steel vault. Did I tell you this story?
No, but now that you said like a homing pigeon, yes. It totally makes sense.
Yes, a homing pigeon. And you lock it in a steel box, solid steel, cover it with a blanket, take the covered box, put it in the back of a dark truck, drive the truck in a circle 100 times, and then drive out in the middle of nowhere, open up the back of the truck, take out the blanket, unlock the steel cage, let the pigeon loose. It'll fly up in the air, fly in a circle 3 times, and fly straight home. There's only one other creature with that exact same ability.
Human being?
Exactly. Human beings. Human beings. But we have practically trained it out of ourselves. We trust it so little, it's almost gone. Trackers, native people. I mean the fishermen of Madagascar, without any global positioning devices or maps, can get into a boat a foot and a half wide and go out 80 miles into the ocean where you can't see land in any direction and fish for 4 hours and turn around and go in a straight line home. They've done it for generations. Human beings are the only other creatures that can do that. And we have other instincts as well that set us apart. But we don't trust them. Our right brains need a tune-up in our intuition, in our gut feelings. And we combine that with our training in rationality and linear left brain knowledge. And those two together is the solution to everything that we need a solution to. Because, you see, a quantum leap requires a paradoxical move. In other words, Natasha, it requires an angle, a ricochet, a slant, an unusual decision. Okay? The first illogical step is to assume that nothing that you've been taught is true, to retest the logic of all of our assumptions, okay? We ended there last week. We're going to start on one more this week, and we will enhance it starting next week. Now, you may be thinking right now that some of this stuff sounds reasonable to you. After last week and this week, some of it sounds reasonable. You agree?
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to the rest of this.
Yes. It sounds reasonable. But I don't know. Well, you might be thinking, okay, I can't buy into it entirely. I don't want you to. Don't. You don't have to believe everything I'm telling you. So, number four is I want you to temporarily suspend disbelief. That's the part of our thinking right now. Suspend disbelief. Suspend your disbelief. If it'll make it easier, don't believe anything for another week. Second guess everything I've told you up to this point in time. Reread your notes over and over. Listen to the show again and again. Simply cultivate a mental readiness for anything to happen. Okay? The scientist Albert Einstein wrote that there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other way is though everything is a miracle.
You know, I'm thinking about the movie Limitless. There was in the movie, he's got the pill so he can use more partials of his brain.
Yes.
That reminds me, you know, in a real life, you just have to use more of your brain capacity to get where you want to be.
That's exactly right. But, you know, what does that require? You can't change your thinking the way you're thinking.
That's
so
true.
We first have to change our thinking in order to make our brains actually limited. Limitless. I'm not sure who said it, but I've repeated it many, many times. I didn't create this. I didn't make this up. I read it somewhere or someone said it to me. I don't know who it was. And I'll say it to you guys. I can believe anything just as long as it's incredible. Okay? Anything as long as it's incredible. A quantum leap cannot happen if your mindset is flawed with skepticism and disbelief. So I want you to just suspend disbelief for a week. Suspend it. Your doubts are not the product of accurate thinking. Your doubts are the product of habitual thinking. This is the way you've always thought. And also, there's another reason that we've got these doubts in there. Just mental junk, you know, like space junk. Stuff flying around up there that's come from all kinds of sources. Mental junk. Stuff come in from the media, from newspapers, magazine. Garbage that's come from things that people say. Stuff that floats around in the air and finds its resting place in your mind. And somehow over time, you think that maybe it has some validity. And you start to believe it. One way to suspend disbelief is to get a clear mental image of your goal. Imagine how it will feel and look and sound in the position and how and what it will to just for you to be in the position that you want to be. I've taught many top athletes to use this visualization instinctively to assure their top performance. As a martial artist, I've been taught and I teach my students to form very clear images of their movements beforehand. And as you view the results of achieving your goal repeatedly in your mind's eye, then your brain will begin to accept this image rather than your limited beliefs of what you can do. They will accept this vision as a reality. We are now, gang, in the process of changing your thinking. And we're going to end there. And we're going to pick up there, give a very quick review, and then head into step number 4 next week. Oh, kind of makes sense, doesn't it, Natasha?
Perfect sense.
No question about it. Changing your thinking. Now, once we've changed that, now it's possible to change your thinking because you won't be thinking the same way anymore. And we'll be able to go off in a different direction. And once you change your thinking, it's only a matter of time before you change your life and create a life that's what you want that life to be. Not that a life that you just think you can have or something you're just settling for. Okay? Been my pleasure, game. I've loved today's show. I've enjoyed it. Love talking about sports with the fabulous Natasha. She thinks the Lakers are going to win it all. Zach's not sure yet. But you know what? One thing is for sure. We're going to have fun watching it unfold. It's going to be one exciting NBA playoff series that's going to be fun for all of us. But remember, gang, that's all there for entertainment. It's not there to define your life. And when the game is over, whether your team wins or loses, let it go right there and go back to your life. Let it be fun, but don't let it define you, okay? It's still just a game. Okay, I'm Mac Newton, and this has been the Power Hour. But as we do every week, I want to tell you to be good to yourselves. Be good to yourselves and be good to those around you. Save your best behavior for those who rely on you and for those that love you and for those you love. Don't just save your best behavior for strangers. Be true to yourself, gang. And that means simply this one thing. Let your words and your behaviors match. If you say it, live it. If you say it, live it. I don't care what it is. If you say, I'm going to take out the garbage on my way out, do that. Let your word be your bond. Let your words and your behaviors match 100%. Let there be no difference. And if you can't do it when it's hard, you can't do it. Don't make any excuses for yourself. You must be able to do it when it's hard, or you can't do it. As always, thanks to Bob Adlock for believing in us, you know. Pat McMahon, my mentor forever. JC, this show was great. We're still getting emails on that. JB, still miss you, brother. And, of course, to the fabulous Natasha and the Magic Man right here in the studio. I am the Mac Daddy. Peace. 3, 2, 1. I am out.